Val. So, Val, why are you here today?
Because over the last 2 to 3 years, I've become much more aware of the issues around Palestine. Uh-huh. And it touches on the things that I'm interested in lots of levels. But in the last 18 months, because of the things that have happened in Palestine and to people who are trying to get to Palestine, it's made me extremely angry. And the more I learn, the more angry I get.
Okay.
I do think it's really important that people understand that we are not against Jewish people. Uh-huh. In fact, we have many Jews, yeah, who are people with a Jewish background and are Jews who are currently members of Palestine Solidarity Campaign. There's lots and lots of Jewish organisations who do not, you know, say not in my name, who, mm-hmm, do not want to be associated with what the Israeli government are doing, and not even the Israeli people, but the Israeli government. Our quarrel is with the Israeli government, the UK government, and the USA government.
So where does this anger come from? Is it just from your sense of natural justice?
It's got a lot to do with natural justice. Natural justice, yes.
Right.
Yes, it's got a lot to do with that.
Uh-huh.
And it's something that I've always cared about.
Right.
And the more I've learned about what's happened to Palestine over the years, the more angry I feel.
Right. So you decided to try and do something about it.
I have, on lots of different levels.
Right. So what are you doing?
Well, I first got involved... I've first started going to the vigils that are held every so often outside the town hall,
right,
just to stand in solidarity with the Palestinian people.
Uh-huh.
But I'm a lifelong feminist,
right,
and I discovered that there was an organisation supporting women to access higher education,
yeah,
in Gaza.
Right.
Because so many Palestinians leave Palestine to access higher education,
yeah,
but they're perfectly capable and have the means of providing that within Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an organisation called the Sheffield Women's Palestinian Scholarship Fund,
right,
which is now a registered charity, and we currently support 10 women to access higher education, doing a variety of looking at a variety of subjects, at various Gazan universities, who wouldn't be there but for the fact that we support,
right,
them. And we do that mainly by at least 100, if not more than 100 people, mainly women, but not exclusively so,
mm-hmm,
who pay so much a month, who have made a commitment,
right,
to stand in orders,
yeah.
Yeah. And that's how we raise the money to, uh-huh, to fund these 10 women. And the first 3 have recently graduated.
Oh, excellent. Great.
So that's one
good
thing that I... So that's one of the positive things that I do.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing that I do is help raise money. I'm also very keen on education. And one of the core things that Palestine Solidarity Campaign do in Sheffield is to raise money for the children's projects in Gaza.
Uh-huh.
Our chair, Bashir Al-Farah,
uh-huh,
is a Gazan. He,
yes,
comes from Gaza. And because of him, we now support at least 3 children's projects. Four.
At least four.
Four children's projects.
Right.
The library bus.
Including a library bus.
Uh-huh.
We did have a ball pool, which was extremely popular, but that was bombed.
It wasn't.
It was last January.
Right.
And although we have got sufficient funds and stuff to restock it,
mm-hmm,
we can't get the Israelis won't let us take in the materials necessary.
A ball pool.
A ball pool. Children's balls.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is frightening, because that is one of the... education to me is really, really important, and it's one of the problems is that there are so many... children are searched on the way to school, and they have stones thrown at them by illegal settlers, and they're, you know, what an environment for children to live in. Children are traumatized. It's something like, I can't remember how many percent, but at least 60 or 70%, if not more now, I think it even might be 80% of children are malnourished since in Gaza.
Since the blockade.
Since the blockade, yeah. Uh-huh. And it's getting worse. I read a report the other day that after the 9 Turkish people were murdered on the flotilla, and there was a world outcry, the Israelis have lifted their ban on junk food going into Gaza. Right. I just think that is...
it's a slap in the face.
Absolutely. Junk food.
Yes.
What's that got to do with anything, apart from giving them even more health problems?
Yes. So the problems are intractable, do you think? Or do you see that it's a turn in the tide of public awareness of what's going on in Palestine?
I'm an eternal optimist.
Right, well, glass half full. I think you have to be, don't you?
Absolutely have to be. Uh-huh. And I think over the last 2 years, imperceptibly, things are changing. Mm-hmm. More and more people are learning about what is currently happening in Palestine. Mm-hmm. Particularly in Gaza, but also in the West Bank. Some parts of the world are slowly waking up, but until we can get our governments to be brave and stand up to the Zionists, I think it's going to take a long, long time.
Yeah.
But we do know that the boycotting Israeli goods, and the cultural boycott is rattling them.
Yes.
That is starting to rattle. And
as well as their diplomats coming over here and being threatened with arrest.
That's the other thing. And we must be very, very clear that we don't allow our government to change that parliamentary act, whatever it was, that law, that currently allows us to make sure that that happens. Mm-hmm. Because... there were, before the election, there were plans afoot to try and get that changed.
Right. Tony Blair.
Exactly.
All right, well, thank you very much.
No problem.
It'll be an edit.
Fine.
Okay. My stars are on the backs I have crossed. Now I'm stargazing up with the dust.
So yeah, we're with the local Anarchist Federation group, and we're here to kind of spread the ideas of anarchism, which is encourages people to take direct action, practice mutual aid, take great control of their lives, organise in a non-hierarchical way, and try and, you know, build a better and freer society.
Right. How do you think it's going so far?
Well, obviously, we're from a very, very long tradition of working class struggle. So the last 200 years have gone okay, I suppose. We haven't quite got there.
Right. Are you basing your ideas basically like Marxian primitive communism? Are those the kind of, is that where you're coming from?
I'd say that people like Kropotkin, early writers of anarchism, looked to those kind of primitive communities as good examples of how human beings could live together.
Yeah, and did, I think.
And did, yeah, successfully. Yeah. But I think we also want to argue that this, because our society is so much bigger than those and has so much more technology and different culture, that the kind of society we would want to build would be probably close to that, but so much more complex and better in many ways. Uh-huh. We wouldn't have to rely on, I don't know, hunter-gatherer systems for providing food, for example.
Right, so how does Darwin fit into your ideas then?
Well, I guess, I mean, we would be... we're anti-theists, so we obviously like believe in a kind of... We have a materialistic understanding of how we got to where we are now.
Of history.
Yeah, of history, yeah. And I think... Yeah, I think in terms of talking about kind of processes of evolution, I think the idea is that we believe that human beings are capable of bettering themselves.
Yeah,
in many ways that we haven't quite achieved yet.
I think you need to disrupt the hierarchy as well. Yeah. It's the way to do it is information, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's what it depends on.
I'd agree with that, and also, I mean, this idea of part, because you say like hierarchy, information is controlled, but also there's no participation.
Yeah.
So, like events like this, which encourage direct face-to-face interaction between people, people making decisions on a grassroots level, that's what undermines control ultimately.
Let's hope so. Hello, what's your name?
My name's Carriad Thomas-Cook.
And you're from?
Sheffield Renewables.
And what do Sheffield Renewables do?
We're a volunteer-led organisation developing community-owned renewable energy schemes in and around Sheffield.
Okay, and what success have you had so far?
We've developing a project at Jordan Dam on the border between Sheffield and Rotherham. We've had an independent feasibility study say we can generate enough energy for 79 typical family homes, so quite a lot of energy there.
Is that with the Archimedes screw?
Yes, that is, and we've got a little model of that on our stall that people can have a go with and play and make it turn round with some balls of water.
Right.
And what we're doing now, because we know that it's definitely a good project, is we've got an ecological study there at the moment, making sure that nothing we do will harm the existing wildlife.
Right.
We're going to do, obviously, a lot more paperwork, a bit more stuff to do behind the scenes there.
Uh-huh.
But once it's ready, we've got planning permission and everything, we're going to have a share offer where local people can choose to invest some money in the scheme to raise the capital to build it. And they're withdrawable shares that people can get their money back if they want, in a few years' time.
Right.
And we aim to pay a modest rate of interest on it.
Sounds great. So some of the gizmos here, who's been building these things?
We've had a team of volunteers that normally meet about once a month.
Uh-huh.
We've got a wind turbine that was made probably last year now. That was by last year's volunteers. And unfortunately, it's not generating at this point in time, so there's absolutely no wind, but it's quite light, so it does go quite quickly.
Yeah.
The Archimedes screw, that's just to show how they work, and like children really love doing that. We've got some brightly coloured water balls that they can like just drop down, and the power of the water falling is what turns the screw, and that could be what would turn a generator.
Potential energy.
Yep, it's all about that.
Right.
We've also got a bike-powered generator, and that's just showing how, or certainly when our phones get a bit low, we can just plug it into the charger, charge it all up, get in touch with people.
How long does it take?
Well, that's what we're yet to test. I'm afraid most of our sort of technical team have been a bit more interested in getting it working at the moment.
So what sort of workshop have you got to produce these
And a lot of timber being used, I see, which is good.
Yeah, a lot of what we're using as materials is stuff that people don't want, so it's like spare wood and skip wood. We check with the owners to make sure they want us to take it away. We're not stealing things. Or, you know, people will be like, oh, I've got this bit of, my friend's got this bit of drain pipe. I don't know how we know people that have spare bits of drain pipe. So there's only a few bit of electrical components that we've actually really purchased, and obviously, and even the paint we've used, one of our volunteers had some spare paint at home that was eco-friendly, and sort of said, oh, why not use that?
Okay, well, I'm interested in fab labs. I don't know if you've come across the idea of fab labs.
No,
it's a fabrication laboratory where you can make almost anything. So you can, for example, there's a thing called a rep rack. Across that?
Very interesting.
Very interesting, fascinating stuff. A rep rack is a machine that can build, can self-replicate. And it's like a 3D printer. And there's a thing called the multi machine. That's made out of old engine bits, like the cranks out of old engine bits, and it's modular, so you can make it be a machine tool, you can make it be a router, you can just stick it, and it's all open source stuff.
So is that actually going?
Jesus, me, Jesus, 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 J